the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated.
Good morning. And keep your bulletin near at hand. We may be using the reading from the Ephesians that Rupert read so well to us. We may, in that I always keep a degree of flexibility within my sermons. Our Bible and our life in Christ is an unfolding, passionate love story set firmly in the realities of our Father's unrelenting love for us. Our scriptures are not hagiography. It is no collection of non-critical, idealized biographies of flawless, bloodless, stained glass window saints. The Bible portrays human life as experienced, with all its passions and messy shortcomings, but also with its God-given enduring hope and God's historical and existential faithfulness and love. Historical, existential faithfulness and love. Humanity is portrayed in the words of dear Oliver Cromwell, "Warts and all." God, we realize, is not ashamed to share with us the weakness of his greatest saints. From them and their failings, we are to learn. When I was writing that, the Judah and Tamar. Check it out. Genesis 38. I'm not telling you. Asides are dangerous and adds to the length of my sermon. Then look at Peter and his toxic denials. Toxic. He curses and swears. And now we have David, the great king, the great promise, fallen from grace. Paul, paraphrasing Samuel, says, "God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man of my own heart." And God speaks true. "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will." And interestingly, Paul adds, I'm quoting Paul from Acts, where he takes Samuel. And interestingly, Paul adds, "Of this man's seed, of David's seed, of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ." All of our pedigrees are somewhat flawed, and Jesus was no exception. What has happened to David, a man after God's own heart? The ease with which he behaves and ruthlessly schemes would indicate this pattern of behavior is well established. One could reasonably assume David's fall from grace had not recently occurred. because the thoughts and desires by now move speedily into selfish fulfillment and ruthlessness. A great, decent fellow was Uriah the Hittite. David is now 40 years of age about. He has had a stunning career. Good looks, talented warrior, musician, and poet. And he is now also king, and all Israel loves him. But he had begun to run contrary to the law of God, as outlined in Torah, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 17. God never fancied the idea of kings in Israel, but he knew they wanted to be fashionable and politically correct, and relented. God would allow his people to appoint one of their own countrymen, whom he would choose as king. But the king had to be careful not to imitate the heathen kings and multiply wives for himself, lest they turn his heart away from the Lord. Now, David's teenage marriage to Saul's daughter was a failure. And as a fugitive from Saul, he married the beautiful Abigail, and it was a good match. Yet, we learn in a relatively short time that David took 4 more wives and took more concubines and wives again from Jerusalem. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his officers. But David remained in Jerusalem, where he sauntered on his roof. I had to laugh. I thought of my grand-aunt. She found if you were reading, that was a waste of time, because the devil found work for idle hands, and reading was idle work. And it was a tyranny to go to her house, because there was always work to do, and you couldn't hide and read. David is cruising for a bruising. David is not where his God-given responsibilities demanded he should be, full stop. The rest, and with all its consequences, unfold from there. He was not where he should be. That is, in the will of God. Wrong actions, even with repentance and forgiveness, can still carry consequences throughout our lives, folks. And God delivers judgment on David through the prophet Nathan. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Now, it's a great read for Sunday afternoon. You start at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and go right through into chapter 2 Samuel, right in there. And you read about David and Absalom, the son he loved. It's all there. And it would be a very worthy way of you spending your Sabbath day, he said, smiling. David repented, and we became blessed. For down the centuries, numberless believing souls, Jew and Christian, have received a voice from David for their repentance. In Psalm 51, Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. Add it on to the book of Samuel for your reading this afternoon. It is important to grasp it, that no matter how low we sink, God can still cup us with his hands and lift, carry, and mend us. God can still cup us with his hands and lift and carry and mend us. And I twisted the title of a song we all know, You Just Call Out His Name, and you know wherever he is, he'll come running. We all have missed the mark and have a duty of heartfelt prayer for any beleaguered brother and sister who has fallen from grace, because they are like us. They are reborn of the God's Holy Spirit, and it is our duty humbly pray that they be restored by grace, or restored to grace by grace. And we must be careful and not piously gossiping about them because their sin is different from ours. And we are to avoid the current fashion of virtue signaling. Virtue signaling. I don't eat meat. Great virtue signaling. This behavior of virtue signaling, you know, I am perfect. This is a pride. And that behavior Jesus relentlessly attacked in the Pharisees, calling them hypocrites. But being mindful of all of that, keep in mind also St. Augustine, who on seeing a man in the gutter observed, there go I, but for the grace of God. Remember that. I'm preaching to myself also. The hymn writer, Augustus Toplady, of Rock of Ages fame, wrote many hymns, one of which was A Debtor to Mercy, a hymn of great reassurance and perseverance and preservation. And I've taken some lines from it. Our names from the palm of his hand, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains, in marks of indelible grace. Things future, not things that are now, nor all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego, or sever our souls from his love. A debtor to mercy alone. We love, we survive, because he first loved us. Since our rebirth into Christ, we are engaged in an eternal journey into the dance of divine love. And the key of our spiritual growth as individuals and as a congregation of believers is prayer. It's our lifeblood. If we want our personal and church actions to be effective, we start with full focus prayer, not religious platitudes. Prayer is the energizer, bringing together love and power. Prayer works as a magnet, drawing our sometimes tentative love and God's dynamic love together, releasing power through us. Look at what happened, the little boy. In our gospel, with his little lunch basket, he brought it to Jesus. Prayer has a multiplying effect. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Knowing and experiencing God as our all-loving and all-powerful Father will provoke us. We'll respond to it. It will encourage us to put down roots into his faithful, enduring, nourishing, and passionate love. And that's where we come to the Ephesian extract. And if you would dig it up so that it proves that you're all not in an open-eyed trance or slumber. Apparently there is a model of microphone that can be attached that gives the preacher mobility. I would love that during preaching. I would sneak down while my voice is still coming out from the speakers to those who are in deep meditation. Oh, grace will touch that part in me too, one of the days. I want us to look at the second line of Ephesians, I pray. And it struck me that this will conclude the sermon. I pray. I'm going to read it, and you are going to read it. We'll read it together. I have changed. I have the advantage on you in that I have changed the singular I to all plural forms, we. And my challenge is that we pray this. Visitors, pray for yourself and for your own congregations, because this is a mighty prayer. And today here, we as a congregation and as individuals will pray it. Don't mind fluffing it. There's been no practice. So, together. To proof of life. Proof of life. Spiritual life as well. Together. We pray according to the riches of his glory. He may grant that we may be strengthened in our inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith as we are being rooted and grounded in his love. We pray that we may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. This, folks, is where, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can journey as a body of believers. As with the loaves and fishes, think of what God might do in us and through us as a believing individual and congregation. God is perfectly capable of multiplying all our little baskets of talents by the power of X, where X equals infinity. Now, I'm back to the reading. To him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Fact. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, folks, dare we accept his invitation to seek him with the same energy that he seeks us? And if your answer is yes, I suggest you fasten your seatbelts. Amen.
Let us stand for the creed.